I'm having a party. Want to come? And then she goes, I'm having me a party. And then he goes, I don't think I can come. It's not just any kind of party. Think I'll stay at home. And on and on it goes.
I've never heard you sing that before. So that's your bar song, though? That's your karaoke song?
Yeah. I would sing it all the time with Abby growing up.
Oh, okay.
Wait, we sang it. Were you not there?
No, that was the day after I left, remember?
Yeah, we sang it there. Abby and I used to sing that all the time in the car. Originally, though, I sang it not with her. I sang it with my best friend from third grade, who then ended up bullying me. And we stopped being friends. But that originated because her mom used to play it in her car.
The one who stole your clothes?
No, that's a different girl.
Oh, okay.
I was bullied a lot by different women, fortunately. So I took that song, and then my mom started playing it for me and Abby, and then me and Abby started singing it.
That's nice.
I like that your sunglasses match your outfit. Now I'm self-conscious that mine don't.
I feel like they work, yeah.
Yeah, but like I'm wearing black and white, and then you're wearing like white and blue, and yours are like white and blue. Mine are like brown and gold.
You know? Yeah, where are your sunglasses?
You didn't read? Didn't read the memo?
I can't read.
I just want to... Here, wait. Get a good crunch going.
Dance, monkey, dance. Oh, that's a big one. Ooh. It's like those turtle videos, but you're the turtle.
Well, welcome to the... revamp of the Offline TV podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode one.
While Toast gets situated...
start from the top.
We've been on hiatus for a little bit, but we're back. We're going to do, Jody and I are taking over as hosts, and we're going to do things different around here a little bit, okay?
Oh boy, I'm so excited.
You're going to be seeing a lot of us.
Yeah, we're gonna hit every other week, so you can count on that, instead of every 3 months.
Why not every week?
I got shit to do, man.
Like?
My podcast.
You got a podcast?
Yeah. That I've been neglecting. Episode 3 coming out soon.
All right. Okay. Well, what else is different here?
Well, we changed the look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You like this. It? Yeah.
But I feel like I'm getting interrogated.
No. What did you say hosts. That?
Because this isn't even a couch. Like, you guys get couches. With my couch, I'm sitting on an OTV branded Secret Labs chair.
Yeah.
Which is rather comfortable.
You get the awesome Secret Labs chair.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. The colors look nicer too.
My sunglasses are muting everything. I don't know how it looks right now.
Maybe we'll do a special like party episode, but we turned one of the lights off and it looked like a nightclub in here. So cool.
That'll be for the episodes where we drink.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. Yeah, so this is the new podcast. You may find some things are the same and some things will feel different.
Okay.
Yeah. But just, you know, act natural.
Be comfy.
Okay. I like this dynamic more than a lot last podcast. Can I just talk about whatever?
You know what?
The
yeah.
The floor is yours, man.
Well, Jody was talking about how her third grade friend bullied her, which triggered a memory I did in high school that I try and block out.
Oh, no.
I had a friend in elementary school. So in Canada, grade 9 is high school.
So you're like, what, 14?
Yeah, 14. Before that, I went to elementary school and had the closest friend I had was in 7th grade while I was in the 8th grade. So we were friends. So when I went off to high school, he stayed in elementary school at the 8th grade. And then when I was in the 10th grade, he went to my high school. So he went to my school. And I don't know why I did this, but I just pretended like I didn't know him. And apparently this is not like the most uncommon thing. Like other kids have done it, but I just straight up pretended like I didn't know him and ignored him. And he tried to say hi to me and I would just like not acknowledge him and walk past him. I don't really know why I did that. Maybe there's some like kid psychological stuff. Like, oh, sorry, man. I'm a different person now. But I always felt terrible about that.
How do you think he feels?
Probably confused as to why I wasn't acknowledging him.
You think he was like, Man, I swear I knew that guy.
Nah. Nah, he...
He knew.
He knew. So, Tim, if you're watching, I'm sorry.
Wait, but you said that Tim originally bullied you?
No, Jody was talking about bullies.
Oh, you literally were just like,
yeah,
I don't know you anymore.
I didn't even, no, I just didn't acknowledge.
Damn. Do you think that Tim just is like a hate watcher now? He watched all your shit and's like, fuck you, this guy's toast.
Nah, we went to a very white college town. Like the townies. Like you're born there.
Yeah.
You grow up there, you work there, you have kids there, you die there. Most of the people in that town are townies. So he's probably just having a good, I hope having a good life. So I don't feel too bad about what happened. Probably doesn't even remember me.
Would you ever reach out to
Hell
him?
Hell no. No, I would not do that. I don't interact with anyone from my college or high school life, which is another thing I feel really bad about. I had two best friends in college that I haven't kept up with, and I don't know how they're doing. I'll invite them to my wedding if I ever have one. But yeah, it's been like 7 years since I've been in contact with them.
One of them, they're going to open up the invitation, and the wife's going to be like, who's that? You're gonna, and they're going to say, I don't know him.
So yeah, I not the greatest track record when it comes to friendships.
So like, if you're going to invite them to your wedding, how are you going to get in contact with them? How are you going to find out where they live?
On Facebook or email.
Email,
that's what.
Holy.
I'm sure they still have their emails. Like, I don't think it'll be hard to reach them. Mm. Like, Facebook, probably.
You guys didn't text? You emailed each other?
Well, we would Facebook message back in the day. Like, college for me was like 7 years ago. Facebook was still popping. Mm.
Now I'm trying to think, like, who I would invite to my wedding and, like, what the, I don't know this name, is Statue of Limitation?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, of friendships for that, like what is socially acceptable? Like, if I haven't talked to this person in 10 years, should I invite them to my wedding?
I mean, who would you want at your wedding, right? You can invite anyone.
I would invite all my closest friends, like that I still have like some best friends that I text basically for holidays. Hey, thinking about you, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, whatever, and that's it.
Here's a challenge for you. Who would you say that we know of that would be invited? But on the cusp, like this is as far as it goes.
Who would I invite? Like a friend that is the cusp?
Like for example, Sydney is someone you would invite 100%, mm-hmm. right? And as you get further away, it's like, yeah, maybe. So who is someone who you would invite? But it's like, yeah, that's as far as I'm comfortable going.
I need some time to think. You go first.
Let me think. For example, like I'd invite everyone in this house. And like one step further would be like, you know, I would invite like Peter Park. You know, that's one step further. And then like one step beyond that would be. Now that's probably my limit. Like Peter. You're invited.
So you're going to have, what, 10 people at your wedding?
Yeah, wait, how big is your wedding going to be?
Probably like 30 people.
30?
Yeah, I'm not looking for... Like, I generally am a hater.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... My friends are people I don't hate. And then beyond that, I hate them. So 30 is a good amount.
A really small Venn diagram we're working here with.
Is the 30 just friends, though, or are you including family? Like,
it includes family.
Wow.
Okay. Like, there's 30 people from my side. Like, I'm not close with my cousins or my uncles. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, like, brother, sister, mom, dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually feel similar to you. Like, my idea is I'm going to have a little, what's it called? Vocation wedding?
Destination wedding.
What am I saying? I don't know. I feel like that's a Xeno word. Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, don't count me on that. Yeah, basically, I want to have a destination wedding so that I can have an excuse for people to not come and then be like, oh, sorry. Like, yeah, it's just small.
Do you feel like you need an excuse? Like, no, oh, I wasn't.
But it's more like it's for them.
Mm.
You know, I also want it to just be like somewhere beautiful and like I can just like be on a vacation with friends. but I imagine a small wedding because it's for you, you know? It's not for anybody else.
Interesting. I feel like with my family, there's a lot of, like, not politics, but, like, a lot of people will feel hurt if I didn't invite them.
People will absolutely feel hurt if I do not invite them. But, hey, that's on them, man. That's on them. That's not on me. My wedding. Unless you're going to pay for it. Come all you want.
Yeah, it becomes, like, a hard, like, you know, people start texting your mom, and then the mom's like, I don't know, it's the venue, there's a venue's got to cut off, you know, you start coming up with all these things with, like, oh, sorry, you know, if they cancel, maybe we can get you on the list, you know?
Those are all excuses. That's when you say, sorry, they don't want you there. It's their day. You can come to the reception, or whatever it's called. What is the thing after the wedding?
Reception.
The reception. Guys, I don't know my terminology. I don't know.
Did you think of someone yet?
No.
What about you, Broden?
I guess, like, when it comes to, so basically everyone that we went to the Philippines with, right? Like, those are my close friends. I would invite them to my wedding. And then anyone outside of that, like, if I'm not going to go on vacation with you, you're probably not invited. Unless I decide to make it bigger.
Yeah, there was like 11 people who went with you to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 11.
You know what I mean? Like, if I would travel with you, you could be invited to my wedding. And then my grandparents. And my, like, you know, my mom, my dad. Best friend from sixth grade. All my friends from home. And then...
Ooh, okay, wait. I have one that maybe is like for you. Valorant community. There's people that you've interacted with, people that you've like played games with. Anyone there who you're like, you know what? Yeah, you would. I would invite. And that's the cutoff, you know?
No. I would say...
Sorry,
like,
Valorant community.
I mean, maybe. Like, it depends on, like, what kind of wedding I'm having, I guess. Like, I'm either going really close-knit, and I'm going on a vacational wedding, whatever, or I'm, like, doing it in town, and, like, then I'll invite, like, a little farther reach.
Like the Valorant community.
Sure.
That's pretty far.
Getting tens at my wedding.
Okay, how about, Jason?
I would invite Jason.
Damn. Congrats, Jason.
But not on my vacation wedding.
Yeah, oh.
Jason gets to come to like my other bigger wedding.
Yeah, you went on vacation with him in Japan.
Yeah, we did. But like that Jason and I aren't friends yet, but we have talked about books and surfing. But like if we made it to one deeper level, maybe.
You can't tell, but Jason's like fighting back his teeth.
Well, this is great. I'm glad you picked Jason. Hey, Jason, does Jody get an invite to your wedding?
Oh yeah, Jason is actually getting married. That's true. If he didn't invite you to his wedding, you don't have to invite him. You should invite Jody to your wedding just to guarantee
just to get
your
an
spot.
In.
Do you have a mic, Jason, or no? That's fine. All right. He said venue cutoffs. So
understandable. Like,
yeah.
I saw my sister go through wedding planning, and it is hasslesome. Like, you have to have the exact number of guests. And food, and people always want to bring plus ones, and you have to count for that, and there's vegetarians and stuff. It's a whole
thing. Those damn vegetarians.
And also, everyone tries to just upcharge a ton. Mm. Like, a lot of the venues that we'll rent for location stuff, for, like, OTV videos or whatever, when you rent them, they'll have, like, the filming price, which is, like, already kind of expensive, but, like, sometimes affordable. And then they will typically have, like, an asterisk that says, if you're going to use this for a wedding... You have to let us know. And then they'll like triple the charge.
Ew. I don't know. I want to get eloped, honestly.
What is that? Like a secret wedding?
Like you just like don't make a big deal about it. And then you just, yeah, you run away, get married. You have one person like see it, whatever.
Like a Vegas wedding?
Yeah. What is that called?
Elope.
No, the person that, yeah, guys, I don't know. The person that is... The pastor. No, the
officiant, I think, right?
The person that like you have to a witness. You have to have a witness.
Oh yeah, that needs to be a
fourth person.
Party.
Yes. Yeah. And then I would just like, I don't know, throw a party.
Would you use a stranger for your witness?
No, probably not. No.
Where would you get eloped?
Hawaii. You know, I don't know, just like anywhere. Okay, I'm just gonna eat.
How's that bite?
I'm so hungry. This is so good.
That's good to hear because this podcast is sponsored by Factor, where eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. What's nice is that every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. Can you believe that delicious dish in front of you is 2 minutes?
Crazy.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day, like these Factor Wellness Shots. I don't know if you can hear, but my voice is a little sick. So I am going to drink three of these right now. I love wellness shots.
Wait, that was yummy.
Delicious. Love these wellness shots. Two-minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are. They are flexible to your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/OTV50 and use code OTV50 to get, you guessed it, 50% off.
That's a steal.
That's code OTV50 at factormeals.com/OTV50 to get 50% off. Let's get back into our interview with Toast.
Are you guys a big, big on proposal types?
No. I get the ick. I get the ick.
From proposals?
I hate performative romance. I love romance, true love romance. But performative romance, I understand where it's coming from, but get the ick. Where it's like, for example, a performative romance to me is like a public proposal that you guys have not talked about. So the girl's like, or the guy is like, what? What?
Yeah.
I just like, I don't know, I can't. So proposals for me are for example, when we were in the Philippines, we saw somebody get proposed to in this little right next to the pool, and they were having dinner, and I was like, ooh, I don't know, do you think that they had a good time with all these people around them and everyone's watching them?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
Jody's screaming, I can't swim.
I was like, man, I hope that like we people in the pool didn't ruin their proposal. But also like,
it's just such a bad spot to even have like one of those romantic dinner.
I know,
days.
Like it's so close to us.
Like, I don't blame them, because when you have it's booked through the hotel, and when you think romantic dinner spots, like secluded, and then maybe there's a butler. But it's right next to the public pool.
Yeah. Terrible spot.
And yeah, we were, and the pool is elevated above the dinner spot. So we're all peering over kids in a trench coat, like witnessing this. And then we were just like laughing. And then the guy got on one knee and we're like, he's proposing.
Yeah. It was a funny sight seeing like five people lined up at the rim, like, oh, what's happening here?
You know, she seemed like she enjoyed it, and she said yes. So good for them. I saw them at the breakfast buffet the next day, and she looked happy.
Aww. Wishing them the best.
So is you like, what about a like? There's no camera to film your reaction. You're out in like the Italian Riviera.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I just like don't want to put too much pressure on it. It just doesn't matter to me. Like, I think it can be an absolutely like beautiful moment, but I just think there's so much pressure already. Or like, as a girl growing up in a very small town, there was a lot of emphasis put on like marriage and babies. And yeah. And then once I moved away and stopped being a townie, I was like, oh yeah, dear God. Yeah. I just think about when girls used to make Pinterest pages of their wedding and whatnot. And I think it's like, great, you can absolutely look forward to that and romanticize it, but I think it's like when it's your only goal, it's like this only thing that you think about, I think it puts a lot of pressure on the day and puts a lot of pressure on like making it be perfect when it's just another day. And it can be beautiful, but I think like the culture around it has been really, I don't know, I think it just puts a lot of pressure, which can create negativity around it.
Do you have any problem being proposed to, Toast?
Nah, it'll make my life a lot easier. I think we should normalize women proposing to men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard putting yourself out there.
Well, it's not...
all the time.
Wait, well, I mean, if you're proposing, you guys have definitely talked about marriage. You know, you're not... I'm not going to say no. Well, I mean, really, realistically, if you...
Realistically, from what I've seen, is even if the girl wants to say no, she'll say yes to not like embarrass the guy, and then later on like talk about it.
Yeah,
which I think is fair, because like if you guys are at a, you know, a public space or a very romantic space, it's a big deal. It can be very hard to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem with society, that we have conditioned people that like saying no is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So what I've seen is like people would say yes, and then later on, like in private, kind of walk back on that a little bit.
I love you've created this mental image for me where like guy proposes to girl in a big public area. She's like, oh my God, yes. And he's just like, yes, yes, I did it, yes. The best day of his life. Cut to like 24 hours later, he's sulking. She's just giving him the news.
Yeah, that happened to my friend in high school. But it was the prom, not a marriage.
Oh, okay. Bro.
But like he liked this girl and he worked up the courage to finally ask her. And I think she was so blindsided. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll go. And then later sent him like a message. I think it'll be fun if we all go as a group. And it's like, bro, yeah, like... Yeah, like I don't blame the girl. It's like so much pressure in that moment to not want to hurt someone's feeling. But yeah. It's rough out there.
That made me think about my high school.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody did what I assumed you should do for proposals, which is, hey, do you like you text? Hey, would you like want to go to the dance together? And then they do a grand ask. Like I would.
Oh, it's set up ahead of time.
Progressive high school, it feels like.
No, it was like, oh, I'm friends with Graydon. Graydon, you want to go to prom together? Sure. And then he'll come up with like some ask or whatever. Like everyone knew ahead of the time who was going with who.
Huh.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Hmm.
Do you, and I know you don't speak for all women, but a common like thing that boys go through is like this idea of, like when you kiss a girl, if you ask, you're kind of like, ooh, ooh, pussy. But
what? Wait.
I swear to God, this is what I was taught when I was like in high school. Like,
okay. Okay.
Like asking is good because like you confirm it. But at the same time, like the idea is like, oh, you're asking. Like you should be able to tell.
No. At least I don't know.
You never heard of that sentiment?
No.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm aware of this for sure. Yeah,
a lot of
wait,
boys.
That you'll be called a pussy?
Not a pussy, but it's like you're kind of
it's
a little
like
beta-ish.
Yeah, it's looked down upon. It's like, oh, you had to ask. You couldn't just tell.
Okay, I've never heard like you couldn't just tell. Like I've never heard of that. I guess I have heard like the sentiment of like, I don't think I've heard pussy or like anything like that. I'm trying to think back in high school because it is like high school.
It feels like boys are expected to like study like the signs of like, oh, she looked at me, oh, she put her
or
hair
even
behind her
like
ear.
As a sign of confidence, it's like you know.
Ooh.
Another I think a more extreme version is that you're getting like you're making out with a girl, it's like, hey, can we have sex? Do you want to have sex? It's kind of like you're supposed to pick up on nonverbal cues, like move your hand in places, and she like pushes away.
I see what you mean.
So like kissing is, I would say, like the lightest version of that. It's like you can see the signs, and then do you just go for it? Or do you say, hey, is it okay if I kissed you? Which is a very gentleman behavior, but kind of beta-ish.
No, okay, well, okay. You're feeding into...
I should preface this by saying I was an incel growing up.
Okay. Okay. Truly?
Nah, but I consumed like... incel culture, like teaching, but I was always aware like, okay, this is a little like dangerous, so I didn't like steer into it. But I think it does prey on like young boys growing up, like,
yeah,
the insecurity about women, and it's like, oh, maybe I should just trust this guy who's telling me these things. And I think that's where a lot of guys like kind of split off into like the manosphere toxic masculinity, or they become like a little more self-aware. It's like, okay, some of the things they are saying might have some element of truth, but it seems like they blame the women more than like their own circumstances. Yeah, you come to a crossroad of, do I blame the women, or do I just you know, try and work around like some of these things society has set up.
I do think it's okay. I have two tangents. The first one we're gonna go on to say is like, I think it's crazy that there are such influenced, or men are so influenced by men when this entire conversation kind of comes down to women. Like, wouldn't you just consume more content from women talking about like their experiences with men to then understand them more? Which I would say is what you see when men are generally a little more well-rounded. Like, they're like, oh yeah, like I had a sister or like a mother or whatever I was really close to, or I'm consuming content, whatever. But a lot of the times they don't, because I think like you try to go for relatability and like you find content like creators who are men and or like whatever, whoever's talking about it on a podcast kind of thing. Cool. Great. That was my other one.
Well, to give even more context around there, I don't like, it's not just like a guy's thing where like you go back to your buddies and you're like, hey, we made out. And they're like, did you have to ask? It's like a, how do I put it? It's the mentality around it is almost like the girl will be not offended, but like will think lesser of you for asking. Oh, not guys.
Like got some it. Girls will say, ooh, that gave me the ick.
Yeah.
In this okay. day and age.
Let me really, okay. Me, well, I think it's really different in high school. Like, I think high school is just, it's a terrible place, man. That shit sucked. I think it's like super toxic, not only just for women, but also for men, like our boys and girls. Like, I think about my values in high school and how negative my self-talk was and how like I felt like a pick me girl because that was kind of what was pushed. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like all girls were competing against other girls. It never felt like girls were trying to like cheer other girls on in high school. It was terrible. So I can definitely understand in high school, like if a guy said that, how girls would be like, oh, ew. But then you grow up. Mm-hmm. I if a guy said that to me now, I would not think anything of it. I also think it's like depending on how you're asking. Like, are you just asking that because you know, like it's like, I think if you're asking it because you're like, oh, I'm supposed to, like, and then it's gonna come off weird because you're like, can I kiss you? But like, there's, if you're like genuinely like coming from a place of like, oh, I like care about you, I want to make you feel safe, then it comes off as like, nice, you know.
Have you ever asked, hey, can I kiss you?
I think once.
Pussy!
But otherwise, I just read the situation. Yeah! That's my dog.
So now I was having this conversation with Michael. And I before he said anything, I'm like, yeah, I would never ask because, you know, that would be too much of a bitch move. And then Michael's like, yeah, no, I asked.
I do think, like, You should ask generally.
If but you don't know, like, you should ask.
Yeah, I think like, I do think it's pretty clear when someone really wants to kiss you. But like, if it's unclear and you don't know, there's no harm in asking.
Yeah, like I think the time that I asked, it was like, I really did not know. Mm-hmm. I like, there's probably a point in that like date where I was like, should I just like leave? Like, is this not going well?
Mm. Oh, did she say yes or no?
Yes. Yeah. So it was just a very hard to read person.
Really asking worked out. I also want to say this disclaimer. Boys, don't go out there kissing girls because I said not to ask. Please ask. You should. The only time you wouldn't ask is she's like pursing her lips. Like, If you're asking at that point, God save you. But that's essentially the idea. Like, if all the signs, the green lights are there and you feel like you have enough like confidence to go for it. But if things are like just progressing normally, don't just fucking go in for it. Cause you would get in trouble for that. And that would just be disrespectful to a girl. I want to go back to the pick me thing.
Yeah.
Though.
Okay. Go ahead.
That's interesting.
What like,
I feel like high school definitely like creates that culture of girls against girls, but especially in the gaming / streaming scene. And I feel like I see it a lot with like some of these like newish Valorant girl streamers or League streamers, where it happened a long time ago, like 8 years ago, where girls are essentially compared to each other all the time. Like the second a girl shows up, a popular content creator shows up, it's like, oh, how does she compare against this other girl creator? And a lot of the sentiment back then was the girls were rarely friends with each other. Really, but on the outside, like they kept up appearances. Did you ever feel that in gaming?
Actually, I don't feel it. Okay, I can only talk about my own sentiment. So, like in high school, I really felt like a pick me, where like, I shied away from like girly girl things because guys would talk so down about girly girl things. Like, you would hear them say that, or like, oh, she like does her makeup, puts in effort, meh. But really, like, they just want to see you look effortlessly beautiful, kind of thing. And so I would shy away from like girly things, and I would like view all women around me as like a competitor, and I was oftentimes really jealous. Like, I just remember growing up with just like such envy and negative feelings, but really it's just like a projection. Like, I'm really just insecure about myself. But a lot of those insecurities did stem from like male validation. In the gaming space in particular, I think I just joined the scene far later in my life. Like, I can imagine if I started streaming when I was 15, dear God save me, I don't think I would have, I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have grown really toxic. But I started at the age of what? I was like 19 and I'm what, 26? So I just came into the space really with a different mentality. Like, at that point I was over that. And I don't know, like, I grew to love women a lot. So in the gaming space in particular, like, I haven't felt that, I guess, that I don't view women as competitors in the gaming space, but I do think that people compare women a lot, but also, like, I think they compare men a lot. Like, I think it happens to everyone, but also we're in such a male-dominated space, so we're inevitably going to be compared a lot more to really specific creators. But I don't know if it's like, I don't know if it's ill-intended, and I'm not sure. I feel like now, though, like, all the girls that I meet are really, for the most part, loving and like want to cheer other women up. Have you noticed differently?
How spicy do we get on this podcast?
I think however comfortable you are sharing.
I think one of the things in our circle, like, we very much like have to push this, like, publicly push this idea that all the women love each other, almost to a point where it's kind of like it's reaching a point like, oh, you're not like leaving likes, you're not like commenting positively on like every single girl's story, like, you have to do that. Like, it's almost like too much positivity, is what I've seen. And it kind of like alienates the girls that maybe don't do that all the time.
Interesting.
Like, this idea like, oh, you gotta support women, you gotta support women. That's one thing I noticed.
Like, you're saying that you've noticed women in the scene will like comment on people things that they like don't like. Like, yeah. And then they're like,
like, sometimes they're just like, whatever about it. Which is, I would say I'm whatever about like 90% of my friends' posts. And 10% say, oh, I liked it, I'm going to leave a like, I'm going to comment. But they would see something that they're whatever about it, but feel this need to like, oh, I should leave a comment. Like, ooh, I should like it. But maybe I'm just projecting. But that's look. Or everyone are just really positive all the fucking time.
I actually have never felt obligated. I can only speak on my behalf, right?
Have you ever felt obligated to do anything in the streaming scene where you don't really want to? For public appearances?
Absolutely. Wait, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. But I'm not, like when it comes to social media, that's only on live stream when I'm like, haha, I love it here. Whereas like on social media, if I'm leaving a comment, I honestly like, I might not like the person, but I might like what they're doing, or I might be rooting for them to, like, I don't know, create whatever the hell they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, I want to bring eyes to that. But I might not like them as a person. I guess I view it as two different things. Mm-hmm. Or like, because if I'm not liking someone in the scene, it's either because you've done something that I know behind the scenes, which I'm like, ooh. Ooh, I'm far, far away from you. And generally those people I'm not leaving like something on because I'm like, ooh. But then if I just find you annoying, like, okay, whatever, you're annoying. And I also like what you're doing. Cool. Cheers.
Sorry. I'm not sure if you guys use Twitter a lot, but it's been pushing right-wing ideals on me. And I can feel it.
Can you give me some examples?
So one thing I notice a lot that honestly all political parties or even marketing do, like men versus women, Democrats versus Republicans. See, even though it's shit I'm talking about right now, it's like, those you didn't used to talk about stuff like that. It's because I'm on Twitter so much and I'm just consuming all this content. Which is like, oh yeah, women behave like this, or men behave like this. It's like, here are immigration, I see videos of like immigrants at the border, like, oh, this is ruining America. I'm just like watching these videos like, is it? I guess it is. There's a lot of people angry. But look at all these comments about it. Like, we should do something. And then I realized, like, what the fuck am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I consuming these videos? But what I notice is it almost seems like it's a pendulum of beliefs, because in our era, like our community, we're very like progressive and like left-leaning ideals, I would say, like very safe, very like women's rights. And then I see almost a shift with the rise of people like that Andrew Tate guy, for example. Like, being able to create this mass legion of guy followers. Like, oh, yeah, like, you should treat women like this. You should, like, try and make money. Like, your value as a man is defined by this. And he's, like, super popular. But I think he's super popular is because there are, like, this large audience of males looking for someone like him. And I think that's possible because, like, for a while, like, most of the media, you know, big pharma, like, promoted... like in our circle, more progressive styles of thinking, and there was no like media for them to consume. So as soon as like someone like Andrew Tate shows up, I was like, yeah, I like what this guy's saying. So yeah, I need to get off Twitter.
I think Twitter has gotten incredibly negative. I remember after they updated it, so you all have a For You page or whatever. Mm-hmm. Which I swear, like, is based off of who you're following and what they're looking at or something. I just saw someone die. I saw someone get shot, and I was like, "What the fuck? Like, why is this on Twitter? Why is this?" And then I was like, "This is on Tenzin's free page. Yep. This is why it's on my fucking Tenzin free page. Why is this here?"
Oh, that's how it works.
I want to say generally algorithms, like for TikTok, is like if your friends are liking something or they follow something or whatever, it's gonna be put onto your. Like your free page, which is why sometimes I get whack ass shit on my TikTok and I'm like, I know someone in the friend group is watching something crazy right now. But Twitter For You page also, I don't think it's just like algorithm, because I get such wild shit on that. It is really like they're just really one-sided takes and opinions, and like everyone is up in arms and I'm like, it's just not black and white like that. I don't know, TikTok and Twitch and Twitter, all, I don't know. Everything's just getting weirder and weirder as the days pass.
TikTok, honestly, I haven't really opened in months, and I feel so much better. Mm. Like, sometimes you guys will send me stuff, and I'll open it just for that, and then immediately close it. Like, I have, like, whatever, like, the 99 plus notifications, and I'm like, not opening those. Not, I'm gonna get sucked into this black hole.
Yeah, it does feel like a black hole. I love using TikTok like YouTube, though. I love going on TikTok and looking at videos. But I don't like doom scrolling.
See, that's interesting. I've never thought to be like, oh, I'll like search it on TikTok.
So I didn't either until another girl was like, hey, you should try looking that up on TikTok. I was like, okay. And I love it because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have to skim through a 10-minute YouTube video to find the shit I'm looking for. I'm just like simply trying to like find my thing and be out. So whenever I'm like playing a new agent in Valorant, for example, I'm like, show me a 30-second clip on how to play this. Great, done. And now I'm in the game.
Because you expect it to be shorter form.
It is always shorter form.
Got it.
Yes. Perfect.
Actually, okay, I take that back, actually. I saw, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the documentary or docuseries that came out, Quiet on Set.
Mm-hmm. Nickelodeon was going bad. Oh, yeah.
I don't know enough about it. I just know a little bit. There's giant poles in my way of the TV.
Basically, it talks about like... Nickelodeon's practices while filming all these kids shows.
Okay.
And a lot of it is the like executive producer is this guy called Dan Schneider, and everyone's kind of coming out and calling him a creep and all this stuff. And Drake Bell of Drake and Josh was on one of the episodes and spoke about essay and very dark things that happened on set. And that was something where I saw like a snippet on Twitter And then I was like, well, I need to see more of this. How do I see more of this? And then searched it on TikTok. And then TikTok was giving all of the, like, the whole story there.
I'm surprised it took so long. Because even, like, 8 years ago, you would see memes about Dan Schneider. Like, they call him Dan Schneider, hold her tighter. Like, what? People were talking about this 8 years ago just on internet forums. And, yeah, now it's getting revealed. And the whole Drake Bell, like, I haven't seen anything on it, but like I know the last time he was in the news he was arrested for
he's had a bit of a troubled past himself.
Pretty much what he went through at Nickelodeon probably ruined his life and made him, like, because it also happened to Amanda Bynes as well and a lot of child stars. And sounds like a terrible time for everyone.
Well, just like even like what I said before, like if I started streaming at the age of 15, I think I would have ruined my life type thing. I cannot imagine what it is like to be whatever, 10 to 15 and be a child star. Like I remember watching a clip of Miley Cyrus going through one of her schedules and she's like 15, 16 at the time. It starts at 7 and she had like 7 interviews in one day and all. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I don't know. I think it just changes you.
Yeah. Well, but on top of that, though, like, the Drake Bell situation is, like, imagine who's someone that you would interact with consistently when you're streaming? Like, say, a Twitch partner manager, maybe. Okay. Are you kind of in constant interaction or, like...
Here and there.
Imagine that person who is, like, on your team, supposed to be on your side, is constantly trying to, like, get you in private rooms where, like, it's just the two of you.
And you're young. And you're young. You don't know any better.
And, yeah. That's what was happening with Drake. And it turned out, like, a lot of other people in that space. Yeah.
So is that man, where is he now? Is he not in a place of power?
So he
I'm assuming?
I don't know how deep we want to get into this, but, Drake Bell, I guess, is from Newport Beach. Thank you, Jamie. the abuser was, like, sentenced and is a, like, public child sex offender.
Yeah.
When Drake was, like, 14, his girlfriend's mom at the time realized something is up here. Like, why do you have a relationship with this man?
Oh my God.
Got the police involved. They got him arrested. Oh. He was sentenced and everything. But his sentencing was for, like, I think 16 months. And then he actually booked a job with The Suite Life of Zack and Cody right after. Granted, afterwards, Disney realized, like, whoa, what the fuck's going on? And, like, cut him out. But, like, it is crazy that he got another job.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Is that, I remember someone talking about, clips about Ariana Grande. And I can't remember. I don't remember it. But is that the same guy? Is that the same, like?
Dan Schneider, yep.
Yeah, pretty much anyone fucking who creep went through the Nickelodeon stuff. And a lot of people are just wondering, like, why did some people come out and say something? Why are some people keeping quiet? There's a lot of conspiracy stuff. Janet McCurdy?
Yep.
Released, like, a book, but hers was just shitting on her dead mom. Mm. Like, it's titled "I'm Glad My Mom Died."
Yeah,
I was telling how, like, her mom, like, just pushed her. Like, it seemed like her mom would be like, "Yeah, you know, go spend time with that guy. It might help you," kind of deal.
But in her book too, she mentioned how she was offered hush money. Like, they were like, "Hey, we canceled Sam and Cat," and that was her show with Ariana Grande. And she's like, "Oh, cool, all right." And they go, "Yeah." And they want to give you $300,000. She's like, "Okay, what's the catch?" And they're like, "Just don't talk about your experience." Like,
oh,
that's hush money. No.
My goodness. Oh my goodness. I mean, I definitely think, like, it's so scary to come out and talk about it. And some people are really receiving and empathetic of that kind of situation. And some people are really not. Like, it's such a tender topic, and I feel like it's something that is so vulnerable that when you do talk about it, it's like you kind of have to relive a lot of the feelings you went through. And I can't imagine, like, the internet is no kind place. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I could understand why some people wouldn't come forward, because like that's just a lot. You gotta like read all these comments about you, and now the news is talking about you. It's like you kind of just want to let it be in the past sometimes, I'm assuming. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It just gets messy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's also just like I really, really look up to the people who have the courage to come forward and talk about it, because then it does bring awareness to it. But I cannot believe it has, I cannot believe like he got a job in 16 months or whatever. I don't know. That is absurd to me. So is he in jail? Like, what's he doing?
No, I believe he just lives in LA now.
Shut up. There is no way.
Yeah. The guy that you're looking for is Brian Peck, not Dan Schneider. Yeah.
Wait, Brian?
No relation to Josh Peck.
Who's Brian Peck?
He's the guy that was sentenced. He worked closely with Dan Schneider. He was a
so they're just a bunch of creeps together.
He was a dialogue coach for lots of kids in the industry. There's photos of him with like Leonardo DiCaprio and like other stuff. So now people are, because of this Drake thing, thinking like, oh, did he pull stuff with Leo DiCaprio? Did he pull stuff with this other kid? Oh
my god! So Dan Schneider is just like, what? I don't even know. Fuck these guys. I don't care. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm surprised Disney.
He reportedly resides in Los Angeles, just lives his life.
Yep.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I'm really surprised Disney hired him back, because like Disney now is like with Jonathan Majors or James Gunn. Like the second something comes up, it's like fired.
Yeah.
Fired. Leave.
Yep.
Because it's like a giant empire now, and you can't have anyone that are getting into trouble.
Wow. Wow.
Crazy to think he was hired back.
I think that was just like they did not do a good screening. And then when they finally did, they were like, oh my God, we need to get rid of him right now. And they ended up like, I think, scrubbing him from the episode. Like they totally replaced him. And he ended up being like a voice. So he wasn't on set, luckily. But yeah.
Wow. Wow. So scary.
To segue from that dark topic.
Yeah, where are we going?
Everyone want to pull out their blade?
Sorry, I didn't bring mine. I didn't know it was Blade Day.
Oh.
That's weird.
I guess we can't do the bit then. I guess we'll just put it back.
I'll just do it next time.
Leave mine there.
Is that the one from the fruit shoot?
Yeah, it's getting a little corroded.
Yeah, same. It's a little juices. Rusty from the fruit juice that we must not have cleaned off.
It's a good machete, though.
It's a good one. You can harm someone with it, yes.
Yeah, if needed. Have you ever thought about our house is probably equipped with so many weapons we could defend ourselves pretty well?
Hmm.
We have talked about it.
I would use my shiny cube. That thing would impale someone.
Yeah.
Yes. Like if I chuck that at someone, they'd be like, eh, oh, dead.
Like samurai sword there, machete. There's a scythe in the corner over there. You got the cube. I think there's a room with a bunch of knives over there.
What the hell are we doing over here?
Are you guys fight or flight? Like, I think it was put to the test when the bears showed up.
Oh, I'm flight. I'm leaving. Well, if you watch that video back, I don't know if I'm in it, but I actually like, I'm like, no, I will have nothing to, I am not testing it. I'm like going far, far away. I was in the far back.
Okay. What if John had to fight the bear and your choice is to help him or run?
I will help him. My immediate, like my body just went like,
Broden's fighting the bear. And you're going to be the difference maker. But you put yourself at risk of grievous injury.
I think I will always help. Like, I feel like my body's like ready to fight right now. Like, it's like going through the idea. Like, I think I would have to help if like I know them and love them.
I think I guess if it's someone that I love, yes. But I was going to say, if it's like kind of a freak thing where like, ooh, aliens have dropped down, it very much depends on my spatial. Like, if I'm right next to them, it's not like I'm going to try to run. It's like, I'm in this. Let's go. If I'm, like at the other end of the football field, I don't need to go there to fight. I'm kind of already out of the situation. Maybe I walk away.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you never know what you're going to do until you're put into that situation. Like, if you can save a life at the risk of your own, would you do it? I don't know.
I have a lot of nightmares about this. And so I feel like I've lived it. Because mm-hmm. like in your dream, right, you don't know it's a dream. So like I'll be in like terrible, I don't know, situations, concert or whatever. And I'm generally trying to run. But if somebody does get caught, I'm always like, you know, like begrudgingly like, no, I have to help them. Try it. And then I usually die, but wake up.
Like if it's a, let's say it's like a zombie hallway situation where it's like five of us are running and then like door slams open and the zombie's there. Ah, I'm turning around. Push them off. Go on, everyone, push them off. Let's go. If it's like we're already at the end and they're down here and mob is starting to get at them, maybe their time has come.
Here's the question.
Well, it's also like, what can you do yeah. in that situation?
Let's say they're running, but they're so far behind. And you have to close the door so the zombies don't get in. But you also have to close it on them.
I could never. Wait, I actually could never.
Even knowing the zombies will come
You think
through?
The zombie... Or, like, I would have to, like... It would really depend, okay? There's so much in this situation. So, for example, they're running. If there's, like, a little, like, 2 feet behind them, there's a chance we have to try. If they're like, close the door, I'm not going to make it big. Okay.
Oh, no, they're screaming open.
Okay, I have, like, if there's an actual chance, like, I don't think I could close that door. I couldn't close the door. I would have to look away. Like, I couldn't even be the one that makes a decision.
I would wait until the very end. And this is assuming we're not going to help them, right? Like, we're kind of in the doorway.
Yeah, we're
like,
just waiting.
You got this. You got this.
Oh, we had this question at the Philippines event. Like, if you get bit by a zombie, would you say something? To your friends.
Yes.
And we all voted.
I don't understand.
Okay, we actually had this conversation in the back.
Yeah.
Me, Broden, Sydney, Sean, John all had the conversation while you guys were in the first meet and greet. And basically, I was like, if I get bit, I want you guys to just chain me up in a corner and let my last moments be with you guys. And then whatever happens to me afterwards happens. Like, feed me, whatever. I don't care. But just, like, put me away. Let me be with you guys in my, you know, the people that I love. And then I'll, like, become a zombie.
Okay, what if it's a group of strangers and you don't know, like, you don't know them that well just yet? Like, you've met up with this band of survivors, you guys have been surviving together for a week, and then you get bit.
Well, wait, why wouldn't I tell them?
Okay, like, another, well, I guess... let's say you saw just a week before, someone said, hey, I got bit, guys. And then they're like, bam, bam, bam.
Ah, I see. I guess I would preface with, like, hey guys, don't shoot. I'm going to leave. I'm just going to let you guys know I got bit. Okay.
I think you get killed there though.
Huh.
I feel like there's someone in the group who goes,
fuck
better,
you.
Better yeah, to get rid of you now than later.
I see. Yeah.
Can't
then
take
I would
the chance.
Bite him. And then I would say, hey guys, don't shoot. We're going to leave now.
Oh, that's so smart. Just bite someone before you say something.
Be like, hey, both of us.
I don't know if I...
You wouldn't tell us?
I wouldn't make it a danger for you guys.
How would you prevent that? You're going to lock yourself in the room, write on a whiteboard on the outside, hey, I'm bit, don't come in.
I guess it really depends on whether I think you guys will shoot me on the spot.
Why do you think we're going to shoot you on the spot?
It's the zombie apocalypse that changes
people. I don't think we're going to shoot you on the spot.
It changes people.
Why can't they just chain you to a little pole for a little bit? Until you turn.
Can you guys keep me alive until you find a cure?
That's okay. Okay, has been done in The Walking Dead, I swear. Yeah.
Wait, here's a question. Are zombies immortal?
It depends on the fictional work.
And sorry, when I say immortal, I mean, like, do they need to eat to stay alive? Or, like, whatever they are.
Wouldn't they just be... What do zombies survive off of? Meat?
Brains, blood, meat?
Is it? Well, I guess it depends. Is it meat or is it brains?
Yeah,
it depends.
Yeah.
Hey, can you look up if The Walking Dead had that? I swear somebody was tied to a pole when they were a zombie and they kept them alive.
Daughter of the governor is kept alive in his basement.
Great memory, dude.
I was a big Walking Dead fan before they turned the whole series to shit.
So, like, yeah... Because what I'm curious is, like, if you locked someone up in your basement, let's say, and left them there for 8 months without feeding them or doing anything for them, does the zombie just stay zombie there? Like, hey, I'm good. I'll wait.
I just doubt there's a cure for the zombie apocalypse, okay? Like, if you're a zombie, there's no comeback from that. You're basically brain dead. So then if you were to come back, you wouldn't be yourself again. Wait, what was that show that everyone hyped up? It was zombie. It's a video game. I can't remember. We all really liked it.
Oh,
The Last of Us. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah. The second episode or something where the guy, it was really sad. It was a great love story. We all cried.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, that guy. The guy who like crazy prepared.
That one's fun because I like that it's like fungal. Like they kind of change it.
Oh, yeah. I saw. So it's kind of like based off the idea that parasites can take over your brain and control it. And I saw this in person once. And it was like the most shocking thing. Me and my mom were just like chilling on this like Taiwanese mountain. And there's like a river that all the kids are swimming in. So we took a dip in the pool. And there was a praying mantis like in the water, like kind of drowning. My mom like just picked it up and like put it on land, and the praying mantis turned around and threw itself into the water again, like trying to drown itself. Yeah. And it was like kind of freaky. And then we observed it, and as it stayed in the water, a long parasitic worm came out of its essentially butt and like slithered out and like went into the water, which is what they do. They control the host to drown themselves so that they can, like, they grow up in the body, but they need water later on. And it was like the freakiest thing because I heard about it and I just never expect to see it in person.
Mm. That is true. Like, I've learned so much about it in biology, but I've never seen it in person.
It was freaky because, like, it's literally killing itself because it's being controlled by this parasite in its body. That was kind of sick. I think that's why people kind of like The Last of Us. It's like a more realistic take on it. Not a fan of the actress, though. So I'm going to come out and say it. A lot of people are praising her acting. I think her acting is mediocre. Speaking about that, Avatar The Last Airbender had some not so great acting.
Ooh, I haven't seen Avatar The Last Airbender. I honestly don't want to. I like love the Avatar The Last Airbender. And so I just like don't want... I don't want to taint it, you know?
It's just not great. And I don't want to perpetuate, like, bullying child stars. Like, it's not their fault. It's really, like, they're not great actors. But I would say it's more the directors and the showrunners' fault for putting them in that position. It's like an NBA team. Like, they put a high school 5'7" kid on the stage. It's like, is it the kid's fault? No, not really. Like, they just weren't ready for it. So,
and a lot of the time, too, child actors are just, the way they're directed is, okay, copy me. And then they do it. It's like, great, they do what I did. We got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it's probably hard, too, because Avatar, like, they're probably advertising it towards children. Mm-hmm. And children would really like it. I'm assuming I haven't watched it. But all of the people who love Avatar now are... We're grown.
Adults.
Yeah. So it's like different demographics of intended audience.
It's so hard to like, it's an IP that is, you're setting yourself up for failure in a way to try to remake what's already perfect.
Yes.
I this is going to sound really prestigious, but when the first, or not prestigious, pretentious, when the first live action movie came out, I went into the theater. And it was the first movie that I was like, I could walk out of this. And like 7 minutes in, I took my phone out and just took note of everything I would do differently if I directed the movie. And I actually landed on, I would not try to recreate the animated series. I would make a live action version of like right after that or a period after or some sort of different content. World building. Where, you know, the IP is already loved and the world building is set and now we're exploring a different band of characters in this world because it's already set up so perfectly. I think that's what you guys gotta do, Nickelodeon.
Or just leave it. Let's not touch anymore. You know, let's just
I want more Avatar content. I want more. But just like, you did Aang perfectly. Do something else. And if you want, I'll help you, sure.
Now after what you said about Dan Schneider and what they did back then.
I think those are different camps, right?
I always say, like, when it comes to big network like them, like, if you criticize them for, like, one thing, they'll remember.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That thing happened to you and I recently.
Wait, which one?
What?
Maybe get ready to cut all of this, but we were going to go watch a movie as a house for an advanced premiere of a movie that we're all excited for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we put in a list of all the attendants.
Yep.
And then they said, actually, these two are not allowed.
These two. You two.
Yes,
us two.
Specifically me and specifically Broden. And then it became a game of, okay.
What did we say?
What do me and Broden have in common that would have pissed off a major movie network so bad that we are blacklisted from attending a premiere?
So you don't know?
I don't know.
You can't ask?
No idea.
I don't know. We tried asking. They're like, we can't. Like, there's not, like.
That would eat me alive.
I mean, I talk a lot of shit, though. Like, for me, I understand. Like,
okay.
I talk shit on the daily on my stream. It's just so funny because, like, recently I had a Pokemon sponsor. And they're like, yeah, we're going to sponsor you even though, like, for the premiere of a game, you, like, talked a lot of shit. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was just, like, I didn't mean it. I love Pokemon. I'm just so passionate about the game, which I am. I love you, Pokemon. It's just because I care so much. But I had that happen. I lost a One Piece sponsor at some point because I criticized, not even One Piece, I criticized another game. And I lost a sponsor from a VR company because I said the first thing I'm going to do with this goggle is watch porn. Like with this, I don't remember saying anything about that movie or a movie in its like roster, but I wasn't super surprised. But I was surprised Broden was on that list.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I try to cover my ass.
Well, maybe because we did a video together and we criticized the same movie. That's the only thing I can see, like, because we talk about movies a lot, like,
yeah,
on camera, off camera, and maybe we just
I don't want to be associated with these two. I really like this franchise. I actually want to. I love this franchise so much that now I'm rethinking this.
Well, I don't think we talked about this franchise at all. I think it was something else, right?
Yeah, we've never talked about.
Now this. Everything isn't safe, you know. Now I cannot talk to you guys about anything in the movie genre ever. I love Avatar: The Last Airbender. I didn't even watch live action, but maybe I would love it.
Oh, shit. We're never going to get the Avatar sponsor because I just talk shit about the actress. See, this is why you can't.
But I didn't.
This is why the left-wing media just won't work, right? Like, everything is just so safe space. And that's why we need to, like, when you go the other way. Which is why, like, again, something I noticed, even with, like, gaming streamers, like, happened the most prominently with I'm not going to derail this on the right wing rabbit hole.
Cool.
I'm just going to delete Twitter, man. I need to get off that app.
But honestly,
we actually thought about calling this podcast like Derailed or something. Just because like we love doing
what
that.
Is this podcast called?
You didn't do your homework. I feel like we shouldn't tell you.
It's not my fault. I asked for a brief and they sent it to me. I just never opened it.
You didn't bring your sunglasses. You didn't bring your blade.
No, machete. Doesn't even know the name. You're just going to stay not in the know.
When I was a kid, I would get upset and I would just go into silent treatment, especially against my mom. But she wouldn't budge. And one time we were eating dinner and I just started crying. And my brother's like, oh, what's wrong, Jeremy? And mom was like, nothing. And my brother's like, wow, he's crying. He's like, ignore him. And that's why whenever I'm like super stressful situation or like I'm having a big fight with someone, I emotionally shut down. As that's the way for me to cope stemming from my childhood.
Are you emotionally stressed right now?
A little bit. You guys won't tell me the name of the podcast.
But whose fault was that?
It's mine. And we shouldn't punish someone even more just because they made a mistake, right?
But mistakes do have consequences, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, how we're going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. So, Toast, thank you so much for joining us.
It was quite a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on derailed episode one.
Well, I think that's where we'll end things. So thank you so much for sharing that. This has been the OTV podcast revamp. I don't want to say derailed for you because I don't want to give you any answers yet. But for those listening, we will be doing a bonus episode with Mr. Toast here for our Patreon, where maybe we'll talk about the Philippines or something because we did go there. Any final words to say?
Well, like I said a lot. Most important takeaway is you shouldn't kiss girls unless you have their consent. I'm sorry, Tim, for ignoring you in high school. And I apologize to Nickelodeon for talking badly about the Avatar actors. I'm sorry that you guys didn't do a better job at picking them.
And fuck you, Dan Schneider, and whatever your name is, Peck.
Yep.
Brian Peck.
See you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Thanks for watching and listening. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.